Right now, we're in the middle of a conversation called Be Free, and we're looking at how in so many of our lives, we live under this unbelievable weight of expectation. And so we kicked this conversation off a couple weeks ago, and we looked at this foundational statement of Jesus Christ, kind of this launching statement of Jesus Christ that, listen, I'm here to bring freedom. I want to take you back to this passage. It's found in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says this. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Jesus talking about himself. "For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free." And this idea that he's here, that he came to bring freedom. And yet at the same time, so many of us, and it really doesn't matter where we are in the journey, it really doesn't even matter what we believe on this journey, it seems, so many of us live with this unbelievable weight of expectations. And sometimes those expectations come from religion itself. This idea that I need to live up to this God. I need to prove myself. And sometimes they come from other places in our life. And so we live with this unbelievable weight of expectation from our family and from our parents and what our dad expected us to do or to live up to. I mean, some of you have lived just wasted your entire lives being Jets fans because of your expectations of your dad. It's so sad. So sad. And they come from all sorts of different places. And maybe it's our financial situation, but it seems that we just live with this weight constantly of what people expect us to do and how we're supposed to live and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And I believe that when you come to the message of Jesus Christ, that he came to bring freedom. And I believe that this freedom speaks directly to this idea of expectations. I think he came to show us a way. When you look at what God's word says, that he came to show us a way to be free from the expectations. And so we began this conversation a couple weeks ago, and we looked at how he first comes to free us from our past. And the first step to freedom is when we realize that when Jesus Christ goes to that cross, that he takes every mistake that we've made, past, present, and future. The Bible talks about this as sin, the things that we've done to hurt those around us, the things that we've done to distrust or step away from our relationship with God, that Jesus Christ comes and he actually becomes our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. He takes care of the past. You no longer have to live up to the expectations of what's happened in your past. But not only that, not only does he take care of the past, but as we looked at this unbelievable truth last week, we see that he's also taking care of the future. And so not only did he make him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, but then also, as the verse continues, it says that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God, completely right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. And last week we talked about this unbelievable truth, this beautiful, beautiful truth that as you sit here before God today, there's absolutely nothing between you and him. He is completely, absolutely pleased with you. Completely pleased with you. And for some of you, as we've walked through this conversation, it's been just mind-blowing. And you're just spinning. You're trying to figure out what this means and trying to take it all in. And for others of you, it's been refreshing and you're hearing for the very first time and you're trying to believe that this could be true about God because you've heard so many other things about him and your whole life you've been told that you have to live up to something, that you have to prove yourself to something and you're forgiven, yeah, but you have to do this now. And you're trying to struggle to believe this. And at the same time, I think for most of us, we're also in the midst of this really weird question. And it was fun for me this week to be able to listen to the conversations that were coming out of dinner groups because I knew when we ended last week that there would be a very consistent question in every single dinner group this past week. And if you don't know what dinner groups are, they're just groups, small groups of people who get together every week, people just like you, just to talk through the conversation from Sunday, have dinner together, just connect with one another, build relationships, and then talk through the conversation from Sunday. And I knew that inside those dinner groups that this week there was going to be one very consistent question. But what about the things that the Bible does tell us to do? I mean, when you look through the New Testament, you see over and over and over again that God says, listen, don't do this, and you should do this. And don't go this direction, and you should go this direction. And if you're at that point right now, as we're walking through this series together, if you had that discussion with yourself or with your dinner group or with someone who's close to you this past week, then I want to let you know something. You are in exactly the right place. You are in the perfect place. Because that's the question you have to ask if you're going to find freedom. This is the question that you have to confront if you're going to find freedom. And I think that what we're about to look at today, and for me, of all the messages that we're going to talk to, for me, today is the most exciting one, because today is where, for a lot of us, we miss it and we end up going back to the old paradigm. We end up going back to the old way of thinking, because we come to this question about, okay, well, then what about all the places where God says that this is the way that we should live and this is the way that we shouldn't? And we begin to believe again that, okay, he's taking care of it, kind of, but not really. And I still have to live up to the expectations. And I would be willing to bet that for a lot of you in this room, that's exactly what happened this week. And you're still living under the weight of expectations, because you look at all of the instructions throughout the Bible, and specifically the New Testament, and you say, well, it's kind of like that, but not really. It's kind of like I'm free, but not really. And this question, well, then what do I do with this? Is exactly where you need to be if you're going to walk this journey to freedom. And for some of you, you walked out last week and you said, this doesn't make any sense, because if this is true, if what you're saying is true, then it seems that we can just keep on sinning and God's just going to give us more and more grace. I mean, is he just saying that it's okay just to live however you want? Is he saying that I can just live my life however I want? It doesn't matter. There's nothing that's going to change in my relationship with God, that there's nothing that's going to change between me and him. This is one of the things that Paul's actually accused of teaching over and over and over again throughout the New Testament. As a matter of fact, in many of the letters that he writes that we find inside the New Testament, which is the second half of the Bible, you see him trying to address this and trying to help people to understand exactly what we're walking through today, because a lot of people come to where we've come, but very few are able to take the next step. This is why in the book of Romans chapter 6, he comes to this point in the book itself. Up to this point in the book of Romans, he's been explaining what we've been talking through, that you're free, that there's nothing that's going to change between your relationship with God. And so he understands that the writers are going to be asking this very same question that you've been asking this past week. And so he comes to Romans chapter 6, verse 1, and he says this. He says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that grace can show us, so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? And we're going to talk about the second half of that, but I want you to understand, for those of you who are here and who are struggling through this question, that you're in exactly the right place. This is exactly where Paul hoped that his readers would come. And in order to answer this question, I want to take you back a little bit. I want to jump to the side for just a second, because I want to talk to you about this idea of sin for just a little bit. You see, from the very beginning of this story, God's been trying to help us to understand that there's a way to life and that there's a way to death. Okay, and from the very beginning, from Genesis over and over and over again, as he's working with the nation of Israel, as he's working throughout the New Testament, he's trying to help us understand, listen, you need to pay attention to this. There's a way to live your life that's going to lead to an abundant life. And there's a way to live your life that's going to lead to unbelievable amounts of pain and destruction. And if you go this way, it doesn't matter how often you pray. It doesn't matter what you think is going to happen. It doesn't matter what you hope for. If you go this way, you're going to find destruction. At the same time, there's a way that leads to life. And if you go this way, you're going to find unbelievable beauty in this life. And he's been trying to help us understand that. And we've, as we've come to this, as we see him doing that, we've thought that what he's saying is that there's a way that leads to death and destruction, and there's a way that leads to salvation. That's the way most of us have heard this. That's not what God said. You see, from the very beginning, there's only been one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. There has never been another way. That's why in God's very conversation with Adam and Eve, he says, listen, this is what I'm going to do to save you. And he's referring to Jesus Christ. There has never been another way. There was never an idea that you would be able to be good enough, that this way, that if you just lived this way and did all the right things, that you would be able to be reunited with him. You see, the problem is not just what we do, it's actually who we are. We had to, as we talked about last week, we had to be born again. We had to be made new from the inside out. That's something that will never change because of what we do. It's who we are. But the whole time, as we've been reading this, and really the mistake has been made over and over and over again, generation after generation after generation has come to this and said, oh, if I just do it better, then I'll be reunited with him. If I just live better, then he'll think better of me. And we've seen him saying this to us. There's a way to life. And over and over and over again, we've misheard it and said, oh, there's a way to salvation. God says, no. This is not the path to salvation. This is a path to an abundant life. The most abundant life possible. I'm going to take care of salvation for you with Jesus Christ and what I'm about to blow your mind with and what he's going to do for you. I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to take care of your relationship with me. But at the same time, you need to understand this. There's a way to life. The most abundant life possible. And here's the other lie. The other lie is this, that you can't do it, that you can't actually experience this, that it's not possible. But God says it is possible. And so he's trying to help us to understand there's a way to life and a way to death. This is not the path to salvation. There's only one path to salvation. That's through Jesus Christ. And so often we come to this point and we say, okay, God, when I hear what you're saying to me, that there's absolutely nothing that would come between me and you, that there's absolutely nothing that would stand between our relationships, I don't understand what to do with all the instruction. And the reason that we don't understand what to do with the instruction is that we still think it's a way to salvation. And God says, no. This isn't about your relationship with me. This is about the life that you're going to live. And so when you come to the New Testament and you see him saying, listen, don't do this and do this. It's not an expectation. It's not him saying, listen, you need to live up to this so that we can be on the same page. It's not him saying, listen, you need to do this in order for me to be happy with you. He's saying, you need to do this in order to be happy. And he's saying, listen, if you don't do this, if you don't follow this path, even though we're okay, you're still going to experience unbelievable amounts of death and destruction in your life. And the truth is this, guys, because here's the question that all of you have been asking all week. Is it possible for you, for those of you who are following Jesus Christ, is it possible for those of you who've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, who have experienced him, who have been born again, is it possible for you to walk down the path to death, to walk down this path that God is saying over and over again, listen, this leads to death and destruction. Is it possible for you to walk down that path without any fear of punishment, without any fear of God's relationship with you and the way that he loves you changing? Is it possible? Yes. Will you? No. The message of the New Testament is this. The message of Jesus Christ, and this is the thing that I think is the most difficult for us to be able to, the most difficult step for us to be able to take. You are completely free. You are holy and you are pure, and nothing that you ever do will change that. And your relationship with God is based entirely on what Jesus Christ did. Is it possible for you to walk down the path to death without any fear of punishment or any fear that your relationship with God will change? Yes. Will that happen? No. And I want to be able to walk you through why Paul says that won't happen. It's not about expectations. You're not going to choose the path to life because you want to live up to expectations. You're going to choose the path to life for three different reasons when you look at what Paul has to say in the book of Romans. The first one is something that we talked about this past week. It has to do with your nature. The first reason that you're going to choose the path to life as a follower of Jesus Christ is because of who He's made you to be. You remember we talked last week about this fact that you've been given a new heart? For those of you who weren't here, we talked about this unbelievable reality that Jesus Christ shares with Nicodemus, and then we see the writers of the New Testament building upon that when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, that He actually makes you a new creation. He gives you a new heart. And Paul says that one time you were a slave to sin. This is what he's referring to in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. He says, one time you were a slave to sin. In other words, your very heart craved selfishness. It craved to go your own way. It craved to walk away from God. But he says, when you've been born again, now you have a new heart. And that new heart craves to pursue God. That new heart craves to walk down the path to life. See, the first reason that you're not going to continue to walk down the path to death is not because you're living up to expectations. It's because of who you are. You don't want that anymore. In Romans chapter 6, he says, since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? At another point in the passage, he says, if you've been freed from slavery to sin and destruction, why would you choose to make yourself a slave to it again? Why would you go back to that when you see it for what it is, when you see it and your heart sees it, this new heart that you've been given? And what he's trying to help us understand is that when you've been born again, you see the world differently. You want something else. And so you begin to choose life. And you look at this and you realize that God comes to you and says, listen, husbands, love your wives the way that Christ loves the church. There's a path to life, husbands. And you look at the instructions of the Old Testament and you see in the book of Proverbs all the instructions about keeping your eyes only to your own wife and the way in which you view her only and you stop lusting at the world around you. And you see very clearly that God's saying, listen, husbands, there's a path to life and there's a path to death. The truth is, as you stand here today, you are completely free. And you can choose either. But Paul says that your heart, your nature, it wants to walk the path to life. And the first reason why you won't continue to walk the path to death is that this is who you are now. As a matter of fact, Paul says you're a slave to it. Even if you try to get away from it, you can't. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you've been on this journey for very long, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. And maybe you haven't been able to put words to it, but it's unbelievable when you experience it personally. I've experienced it personally where there's points in my life where I've just said, you know what? I want to walk away from God. I don't want anything to do with this, but I was really bad at it. I mean, I was really bad at it. And it seemed like every time I tried to take a step away from it, there was something inside of me that just kept drawing me back. And then there was something inside of me that just kept me up at night and I couldn't sleep. And it was just constantly before me. Why? Because my heart is a slave to righteousness. And no matter how hard I try to walk down that path, there's something inside of me that says, no, this isn't going to work. This is going to be really bad. You got to get back. You got to get back. And sometimes I can walk that path for quite a while before my heart finally brings me back. But the truth is that when you've been born again, when God's done this inside of you, I'm telling you, the beauty of it is unbelievable. You can't escape it. Are you free to choose either path? Absolutely. I believe that the message of Jesus Christ is clear. Will you? No. Why would I choose to make myself a slave to something that I've been freed from? The first reason is a nature. The second reason is the fact that I trust Him based on grace. And I say that very intentionally because as God steps into your life, the amazing thing about God is that He doesn't ask you to just simply trust Him. He asks you to trust Him based upon something. And He doesn't invite us into this journey to just say, okay, you need to just blindly trust me. He says, listen, I want you to understand something that in your life, I have the best in store for you. Listen to what it says later on in Romans chapter 12. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. And in this way, he's talking about that continued transformation. And when we're born again, God says, you've been given a new heart, but you need to change the way that you think. Because you still think the way that you used to think, and you still believe some of the lies that you used to believe, and those lies will lead you down the wrong path. And he says, so you need to continue this transformation by changing the way that you think. One of my professors in school talked about becoming a Christian, like entering the witness protection program. He said, you know, when you enter the witness protection program, they give you an entirely new identity. You're an entirely new person. Now, the only difference is that when you become born again, when you step into this relationship with Christ, the truth is that you are actually a new person. In the witness protection program, you're still the same person. You're just living in a different identity. For those of you who will trust Christ and step into this relationship with Him, the truth is that you are actually a completely new person. He said, but one of the struggles that people have in the witness protection program is that they still think the same way. They still have the same habits. They still want to call the same people. They still want to go to the same places. And so they continue living inside of those old habits. And oftentimes it will completely destroy what they're trying to do in the witness protection program. And sometimes it's conscious and sometimes it's just unconscious because you're just used to that. And so you continue in that same pattern. He says, the very same thing is true when you become a follower of Jesus Christ. He says, even though you've been entirely new, you still think along the same lines, you still move in the same habits and the same tendencies. And he says, and so you'll find yourself walking down this path of death, even though it's not what you want, but it's just what you're used to and what's most common to you. He says, so not only do you need to be transformed from the inside out, but you need to begin to change the way that you think. You need to adjust those patterns and those habits in your life and to look at those lies and say, okay, well, how do I begin to change those lies? And a huge part of that is this idea of trust. And so God comes to us and says, listen, you can choose either way, but I want you to trust me that this is the path to life. And the reason that we trust him is not simply because he says that he's God. The truth is, he could have come to us and simply said, you need to trust me because I'm God. He has every right to do that. But he doesn't say to trust him based upon the fact that he's God. He says, trust me based upon what I did for you on the cross and the fact that I rose you from that grave with Jesus Christ and the fact that you've been made new. It's all based on grace. My trust in him is not based upon the fact that he's simply God. This is one of the really difficult things that Abraham had with God. We kind of take it for granted now because there's this idea in our culture where God should be good, right? We have an understanding that God should be good. Abraham grew up in a time at which gods were not good. And so the idea that God could be trusted, that God would be faithful, was something very new. And so you see this constant conversation between Abraham and God of, okay, can I really trust you? Can I really trust you? And the amazing thing is that when God comes to us, he comes to us and he says, I don't want you to just trust me because I'm God. I don't want you to just trust me because of the fact that I created you. I don't want you to just trust me because I absolutely could demand that. I want you to trust me because of how I've loved you. I want you to trust me that I have the best in store for you, that I have the best in mind for you because of how I've loved you. I mean, look at what I've done for you. You can trust me. Look at how I didn't come to get something from you, but I came to give this beautiful gift to you. You can trust me. And from the very beginning, we've struggled with this. And Adam and Eve said, you know what, God, I can't trust you. I think that you're holding out on me. I think that this path over here is better. This is what started this whole thing. And God says, no. I want you to trust me about this path, but I don't want you to just trust me because I'm God. I want you to trust me because I've demonstrated over and over and over again that I love you. Listen to the end of this verse. It says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God says, listen, trust me. And you can walk down this path towards the most abundant life possible. A life in which people get to see the beauty of love and goodness. And this isn't about restoring our relationship. I'm with you no matter what. But I don't want you to miss out. I don't want you to miss out. And so we trust him. And this is a day by day process. This is not something that you get down and then you just go on. This is something that we do day after day after day after day, because every decision, and we're confronted with these decisions over and over and over again every day. Are we going to choose the path to life and the path to death? I want you to understand very clearly, this is not about choosing, do I want a relationship with God or not? Your relationship with God is based on Jesus Christ. This is about, do you want the most abundant life possible or not? And God's going to do everything he can in your life to help you walk this path. But you walk it together. He's not waiting for you at the end. You walk it together because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so we choose the path to life, not based on expectation, but based on who we are. We choose the path to life, not based on expectation, but because we actually trust him. And we begin to change the way in which we think. And we begin to believe him, that this is actually the path to life. And then number three, we worship. You see, the life of a Christian is not a life of expectation. It's a life of worship. And for most of us, we wake up every morning and we crawl out of bed and we begin to make decisions from the moment we get up until the moment we go down based upon what's expected. And God says, nope, that way of life is over. Now you worship. Now, you roll out of bed in the morning and you understand there are no expectations. You're free. And when you're free, you worship. And you choose what you choose because you understand how great he is. And you choose what you choose because you begin to fall in love with a God who is greater than anything you could imagine. Listen to what it says. Just one verse earlier than the verse that we just read. Romans chapter 12 verse 1, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Why? Because it's an expectation? No. Out of love, out of response to what he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. We worship. Why do you choose the path to life? This is who I am. Look at what he's done for me. How can I not trust him? And I love him. I love him. See, from the beginning, God's been trying to get us back. Not to a place where we serve out of duty and expectation, but to restore the family. A family that's united by love. We worship. Will you pray with me? Father, as we walk through this and we look at this unbelievable reality that you set us free. Father, the truth is this makes us nervous because we don't believe in grace and love. We believe in guilt and shame. And so we believe that if we're going to in some way, shape, or form walk down this path of life, it's got to be because we experience greater amounts of guilt and shame. But into this, you step in and you literally turn the whole thing upside down and you say, no, no. And you introduce the power of grace and love. And step by step, and in my own personal life, you just continue to win us back. You just continue to just slowly, over and over and over again, bring our hearts back to yours. Bring to transform all of who we are. To where we're completely in love with you. Father, thank you for freedom. And in the midst of that freedom, in the midst of this holiness that you've given us, that we do not deserve, this relationship that you've given us that we cannot in any way, shape, or form repay. Willingly and freely, we choose you. Because of the heart that you've given us, we choose you. We trust you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.